What's poppin', man? It's Audio Al, and you're listening to Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix, right here on YouTube, Spotify, or any of your favorite streaming apps.
It is Tuesday, September 19th, 2023, 7:33 p.m.-ish sharp. It is a beautiful autumn evening, Josh. It is night. The weather is finally starting to cool down. I could not be fucking happier. I love it outside. But hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix Podcast. I am one of your lovely hosts, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by our lovely host, the Josh Williams. Josh, hello, folks.
Hello.
We appreciate everyone who chats along in the Discord. A lot of chat about that Nick Chubb injury on Monday night. It was gruesome, and I have not watched it, and I will not watch it. But we appreciate those who chat along with us. It's a nice little community. Second start times will be down in the description below. Thank you at Levi Oak Illustration on Instagram for all the beautiful art. I know multiple listeners have used Levi, and they've always had good things to say, and they've been satisfied with their product, so shout out. We appreciate him and all his art, and you might too. So hit him up at Levi Oak Illustration on Instagram. Josh, how you doing?
How are you, Gar?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the people who've been listening, I've probably been in a bit of a weird place, a bit of a funk for a bit. But you know, we're getting through it. We get out of bed every morning, so that's all you can ask for, right?
Hell yeah, bro.
But yeah, I mean, it's you know, life's going, life's moving and grooving. It's not too bad. Anything fun or crazy or interesting happen with you between Saturday and now?
I went to a wedding on Sunday.
Ooh,
of all days.
Sunday wedding? How
was it? Second week of the football season. You know, somebody's like, you know, they probably got like a 99% discount, which is the only reason why they did it. But it was down at Summit in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minneapolis. I don't know. Those two cities are the same, in my opinion.
Sure.
Trash. And so it was right next to the governor's mansion, as I mentioned. So if you had that letter of thanks about his walls bucks, I could have delivered it to you for you. But apparently it's under construction, so he's not technically there. So probably would have just sat in his mailbox like all his other fan mails, question mark.
Oh, yeah. That guy only has fans. I'm sure no one indiscriminately hates walls for no reason. Dude, he's only got fans. Good governor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Good governor. Probably, I mean, that's why all those people were standing outside his house with signs, right? All those signs probably said, good job.
Yeah, dude, they're just, I mean, I was outside his mansion last year sometime. I was cheering him, good job. Big fan.
Oh, good job.
Thanks, good guy. For you. Thanks.
Is that when you came back and you had bruises all over and said something about Range got a hold of a bag of oranges?
You know what, Josh? We're not here to talk about oranges, okay?
All right.
You okay with your mic over there, bud?
No, it's sagging.
Oh no, Josh, you're already starting to get old, dude.
Yep.
Oh no. All right. Well, the people.
We've done enough chit chat, and we're gonna hop right into what Garlic was about to say. Go ahead, Gar. What are we gonna hop into?
I was just gonna say, brand new fan favorite segment got nothing but positive feedback, zero negative feedback about the rhyming wrap up so far. I'm guessing you did not take any time to listen to any of the audio samples I put in the thing here. So I guess I'll just give you the option. Do you want bongos or do you want a more of a coffee jazz feel for your little bit of background here for the rhyming wrap up?
We'll go with the coffee jazz feel.
All right, and I'm just playing this straight from YouTube. I don't think I should have an ad, but you know, there's always potential. We're just doing this live because I was not prepared. So we'll just see. We'll see how this comes out. Looks like there won't be an ad, so that's nice. Shout out, because I don't have YouTube Premium on the second account here for the podcast. But just press play. Is that enough for you, Josh? Is that the right mood, or do you hate it?
Can you put on the Benny Hill theme song?
I'm not going to put on copyrighted music, no.
Okay, this will work. Maybe turn it down just a tad. Perfect. I like this vibe. All right. Not necessarily matches up with the poem this week, but it'll do.
Okay.
Time's a flying. Week two's in the books, and let's just take a look at how each team looks. Kickoff in Philly against the Vikings horde D left Minnesota fans in shambles while falling to a knee. Baltimore gave Cincy a second loss in as many weeks. Will the Bengals bounce back, or are they truly cheeks? Falcons win while the Packers faithful shake their weary head. The late collapse fills their heart with familiar dread. The Bears extend a streak against the Bucks. 12 straight losses. Man, that team really sucks. Seattle beat Detroit after scoring first in overtime. This should have been the game showed on Amazon Prime. Texans lose to Indy, and both QBs played well for rookies. Will Garlic notice if I stop the pod just to eat some cookies? Goldilocks versus Kermit as the Chiefs outlast the Jags. Mahomes and Kelsey bromance make them both look like good friends.
Come on, Josh.
Buffalo bounced back and stomped the Vegas Raiders. Jimmy G threw two picks while Jacobs ran in waiters. Titans beat the Chargers, and things can't get much worse, unless you count Eckler's injury and the rumor of a curse. Giants stunned the Cards after being down 20 midway through the game. The 2023 Cardinals and tanking are now seen as the same. The Jets crash against the Cowboys. That offense is a sham. Defense didn't help too much, at least for CeeDee Lamb. Next, we have a rivalry between the Rams and Niners in the West. A solid showing all around with San Fran showing they are best. Denver falls to 0-2 while the Commies are now undefeated. Washington decides to win after being properly treated. Miami beats the Patriots in a game where D kept the game in range. It came down to a fourth down play, a lateral, and some guy named Strange.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
The Saints held on to beat the Panthers in Monday evening's game. The defense won for New Orleans, while Carr looked quite tame. Week 2 ends with Pittsburgh outscoring the Browns' dog pound, the whole game overshadowed by Chubb writhing on the ground. Steelers fans showed class and chanted their rival's name, giving us a reminder that football is in fact just a game. Let's get bop-a-doo-doo-dop.
I mean, there was also some sad music options, but I didn't figure you would be doing a sad vibe, so I went with something more upbeat, but I'm sure there's some sad, like, coffee background jazz music we could find as well. But that was...
Can we just get, like, slide whistles on repeat?
Josh, I will tell you, I don't want slide whistles on repeat, if I get to have a say.
Yeah, so that's what happened in the NFL. No need to watch any games, guys.
I mean, I do feel like I feel like I was injected to the seat of the week right there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, for maybe someone like Walter, maybe someone who's not known for really watching the games week to week, maybe it's you're doing a service here, Josh. You're letting the people know what happened in a fun, engaging way.
Yeah, two lines per game, let you know who won, who lost, and my takeaways from watching 1.5 football games this week.
Wow, dude, you're so informative though, bro.
Once again, I will reiterate, wedding Sunday afternoon during football season. Why?
All right, Josh. Well, we appreciate your rhyming wrap-up again. Zero negative feedback on that segment so far, so we're just going to ride that as long as we can. But I do appreciate it. Maybe we'll tune the music right or have some options depending on the mood. But for the first time, I don't think it's bad. Josh, I'm not going to sit here and play the whole intro speech because I really don't want to have to fucking stand up and run around my house naked screaming how inspired I am by the John Gannon. But our next segment here is Fire in Your Gut. And I'll just play two little sounders just so people can feel inspired with the segment here.
Do you have fire in your gut? Better light the fire pretty fast.
Better light that fire pretty fast, Josh, if you don't have that fire in your gut. Thank you, Mr. Gannon. Josh, who this week might have given you some fire in your gut? We know fire in your gut can be positive and negative. We'll start with the positive, Josh. Who put some fire in your gut this week?
Well, as pointed out in the notes for the show, Brian Knupp's football team, a.k.a. the Skybusters, they put a fire in my gut. He bounced back after a 63-point week in a full-point PPR to put up 90 more points this week. Literally more than double his score, it looks like. And that is just me going off of memory, because my phone isn't pulling up the scores quick enough. But yeah, Brian put up 158.75 after putting up 60-some last week. So, Brian, you gave my fire and you gave my tummy the warm, fuzzy rumblies, not the bad, owie rumblies.
Oh, no, Josh. Speaking of... Anyone put some rough fire in your rumblies, or some rough rumblies in your gut this weekend, Josh?
Yeah, I alluded to it in the poem. Nick Chubb's injury. I love Nick Chubb. It's like, how could he was like the, he's always like over 1500 yards. He scores touchdowns. He's a bell cow back. He can catch. And yet he's never like considered a top, you know, top three running back in the league, it seems. But he is. And then, you know, you see that injury that, yeah, might have been a late or a dirty hit. I don't know. I didn't watch the replay that many times to gauge it, because after seeing his femur, the condyle, or the part of the femur that connects to the patella, after seeing that part of the bone, which should not be seen by human eyes unless you're a doctor, I just decided, you know, that's enough of watching that replay.
You had seen everything you need to see, perhaps.
Yes, it was not pretty. Yeah, you said you haven't seen it?
No, I don't want to see it.
Okay, that's good. Just, I'm trying to think of how to describe it. Do you remember those? No, that's not a good description. Well, maybe. Remember those toys when you're a kid that, you know, it's like the muscle guy, like the wrestlers, and their like waist is separate. You could pull their waist because there's that little band in the middle.
Sure.
No, you don't remember. Okay, I'll think of something. I'll come back to it, Gar. Did you have anybody give any fire in your guts?
Well, Josh, I certainly considered it, and you know, I'll go ahead and I'll go with a couple here. I got some fire in my gut from the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, you just love to see the fight. You love to see the grit on those Falcons. I mean, Arthur Smith was... that guy might be a sailor in a former life, because he was swearing up and down the sideline all game. He was displeased. It seemed like with his own performance half the time. But that guy was electric. That guy was... he was an interesting coach to watch. I'm not sure I had ever watched him like a full Atlanta game with him as the head coach. But that guy fired me up. And, you know... not saying it's always great when the Packers lose, but it's usually pretty good when the Packers lose. So, you know, I feel good about no one in the division being 2-0. It's not just a Packers thing. I appreciate the Bears losing as well. I'm high on the Lions, so it would have been nice if the Lions won. But, you know, it helps the Vikings feel like they're in it just a bit more. So I'll shout out the Atlanta Falcons for assisting with that. And specifically Arthur Smith for his fucking mustache and for... you know, for his service to entertaining me on Sunday with him constantly swearing at the refs. It was pretty good stuff. And then, Josh, we've got some rumblies as well.
Yeah, I can do without that sounder.
Well, Josh, we're here to create an experience for the people, okay? Though that fire in my gut was brought to me by my entire Deflate These Balls team, dude. It doesn't matter if it's Jamal Williams or Najee Harris or any of my other players that are injured or hurt, or Jonathan Taylor, or all these players that get hurt and stink, and it's what the hell, dude. I've been power ranked as a high team, but my team just never puts it together. And I'm not quite ready to tank, Josh. I'm not quite ready to throw everything away. But it's just like I've sat there and I've tried with this dynasty team, and I've tried, and it just doesn't come together, and I don't understand it. I had my one shot where I came in third, all right. I lost like the semi. What the fuck is it called? The semifinals. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. I had lost, and then I absolutely blew everyone away in the third place game. Would have beat anyone in the championship. That was a couple years ago, and since then my team just can't put it together, dude. And it's just frustrating when I feel like I've been trying with this dynasty team. I got, you know, I'm gonna bring up Puka Nacua. He's sitting on my taxi squad right now. We're gonna have to bring him up this week if he's gonna keep doing what he's doing. But it's just disappointing when your team can't get it together. So I had some reverse fire in my gut. I do think Foster will win, so losing to the eventual champion isn't necessarily a bad thing. But it's tough when you try with a team and you just can't put it together. So that's where the rumblies came from for me this week. With that, Josh, since you don't like the Sounders, we will move on. We appreciate the people who have fire in your gut. If you had some fire in your gut this week, let us know in the chat. But, Josh, we'll go ahead and we'll move on here to the weekly recap. How'd you do this week in fantasy, Josh? What's your grain of salt looking like so the people know whether or not they should listen to your fantasy advice?
Oh, I had that open, then I closed it because I'm a big dum-dum. This week I went 5-4, so winning record, but I didn't have the immaculate 9-0 again. 14-4 on the season, 77.78%, so 7's repeating, I'm guessing. Two two of my losses were against the median. I did win in Victoria's Secret, but lost against the median. Just what, you know, having a good defense is probably why I won my game in the first place. But lost in the redraft, lost in the median against the redraft because Jeremy's team decided it hated me. And then the Dynasty League, I put up a top three score, but played number one.
Gotcha. If you were to play every team every week, how'd you be doing so far?
I'd be sitting at a 69.09%, 76 wins, 34 losses.
That's pretty good, dude.
With my best being the Butt, Sweat, and Beers League for some odd reason. I don't know how. And then kind of a close second in the Hidden Oaks Dynasty, and then the Champions branch out, which I am currently 4-0 in.
Bro, nice. Okay. Well, that's a good start. Similar to your one-year leagues, Josh, I have played the top score in this league. I've played the top score for both first weeks. Jesus fucking Christ, Josh. I'm having a stroke right now. I have played the top score both weeks in this league to start the season, and it's really depressing. It's really disappointing, and if this happens like two more weeks, I'm considering quitting the league because I'm cursed in this league. I've had four bad years in a row. But that's a Yahoo league I've been in for a long time. And it's a keeper. He calls it a dynasty league. It's really a keeper league, but I just can't break through, man. And it's depressing. Overall, though, I went 5-4 this week as well. I believe that's what you said. So winning record again, the exact same as last week. So I'm 10-8 on the season. But we're 2-0 in the two most expensive leagues, and that's what matters, dude. I won the most expensive league last year, and that funds all my other joy. So, you know, you focus on those most expensive leagues, and then just hope other ones, work out as well. But so, you know, 5-4 is not bad. Using the intellectual property of Joshua Allen Bunker Incorporated, I am 129-84. So my winning percentage down there is 60.56%. So not great, but winning record, again, my two best leagues being my two most expensive leagues. So we just got to keep that going strong and let that fund all the other stuff. So I'm doing not bad, but Josh, you're certainly doing better. So the people should be listening to you more than they should be listening to me. Speaking of Josh, we got the FanDuel top three here this week. We had three great performances out of Bradley, starting with Bradley, 136.84 points, dude. Brad got first place. Derek right behind him, only 0.3 away. He had 136.54. And then Josh.
Wow.
You got 128.44, dude? You got third place? I thought you stunk at the FanDuel.
I do.
What's your secret? The key to setting your lineup?
I'm trying.
That's what it is. I respect it. The top three on the leaderboard, though, it's only 2 weeks in, so obviously this is going to change plenty here in the next coming weeks. But Levi Oakey is actually winning the competition with the two combined scores right now from the first 2 weeks. He's at 243.32. Josh, again! He's in second place, 239.48, and then the Bry guy, our Skybusters, no longer a sponsor, but still beloved fan. He's at 235.54. Josh, do you think you're going to stay in this top three for a while? Are you going to take home some money this year?
Yeah, well, probably not, because that's just how it goes. It's just the way she goes, boys. But I do like how my first couple weeks have gone. Usually I start off with a few clunkers as I try to figure out the lineups. This year it's more of a, you know, let's not try and save as much money as possible, because I learned like week 16 last year that the money that you save does not roll over to the next week. So decided to start spending it all. Yeah.
Josh, how economical of you, Josh. Spend it if you got it, you know? That's what the government employee in us. You're like, bro, if we don't spend this money, they're cutting our budget next year. Let's buy 15 chairs. Let's buy all the shit we don't need, dude. You get it, dude. You can't take the money with you when you're gone.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and move on, Josh, to the other fan favorite segment. Brand new this year, kind of a stretch, kind of a, you know, a joking bit, but I love it, and I'm excited to see what you have to say, Josh. So it is time for Hogs at the Market.
Bacon? You don't put bacon in your body.
Why not?
The worst thing you could put in your body.
I love hogs.
It's fried fat.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal. Oink. Ah!
That is the opening bell, Josh, and the hog market is open. For people that don't know, we are here to buy and sell these lovely hogs. And obviously, everyone would prefer to buy low and sell high. That is the dream. But sometimes you got to sell low just to fucking cut the dead weight. And sometimes you got to buy high because the value is sustainable and worth it. So we'll see what Josh has to say. We're going through more players this week than we normally will, but we've got some time. So I'm really curious what Josh has to say. We're only 2 weeks into the season, but right now it's really important time to be making these decisions, because you could be setting yourself up for success or failure if you hold the player too long, or if you don't buy in. You know, some of those first couple weeks pickups can be huge for the whole season. Some players that came out of nowhere, kind of like Puka Nacua, who we won't discuss in our list because I assume everyone is buying Puka Nacua right now, so we have skipped over him. But Josh, I've gone through all the starting all the starting offensive positions. I've gone through a player that's good. They've had two good starting weeks. I don't have Kirk's numbers in front of me, but everyone knows he's been good. I've got a player who's meh, so they've had one good week and one bad week to start the season, and then a player that's down, so they've had two bad seasons to start the year. But you know, maybe it's time to buy low on some of those players. Maybe they just have been unlucky to start the season. So we'll just go down the list here, Josh. No calling curveballs this time. Starting with QBs, Josh, Kirk Cousins, most places he is the number one quarterback in football, depending on your scoring settings, or he's certainly top five. You know, some settings can be different, but Kirk Cousins is up there, dude, regardless of where he is ranked currently. Are you buying or selling this Kirk Cousins?
I mean, yeah, I'm buying it. It's, you know, the team isn't necessarily winning. The defense is a sieve where they just let everybody score, but that means that Kirk's going to have more opportunity to throw the ball. He's accurate with the ball. I would say that, you know, if you have Kirk on your roster, you should be very happy and, you know, playing him. I wouldn't sell him, not unless the offer was right. And not many people make trades for quarterbacks, at least not many people that know fantasy football that well.
Okay, that's interesting, because I definitely thought there was a chance. I'll take a second to apologize. My audio, I meant to just tweak it earlier just to make it a little bit louder, and I instead made myself like five, whatever these units are. I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but I made myself significantly louder, so I've been loud this whole podcast, and maybe I'll go back and tune myself down, but I apologize to our listeners. I've been much louder than I'm supposed to be, so I apologize. But I definitely thought there was a potential, Josh, getting back to the bit here, that you were going to sell Kirk Cousins high, not because you didn't believe in him, but just because, you know, number one QB in fantasy, that's a big deal, and QBs are more important than ever, it feels like, in fantasy. So I appreciate that you're buying Kirk and not selling him high. So that's I appreciate that take. Moving on to a meh QB, Josh, we have Mac Jones. First week he went pretty good. Second week he was much more meh. But you know, Bill O'Brien's there. The offense seems to be doing better. Are you buying or selling Mac Jones?
Well, I'm leaving him on the waivers where he belongs.
So that's, I think sounds that like his... selling.
Yeah, I'm selling on Mac. I'm down on him. He's pretty accurate. He's hard to judge. I mean, that's kind of why he has that high and that low game. That offense is weird. That defense is definitely kind of the highlight of the Patriots this year and the previous years. But I just don't. He doesn't have like a deep threat on the team. It's I don't know.
All right, yeah. So, and I forgot to do this for Kirk Cousins, but for Mac Jones, Josh is saying
it's fried fat.
Moving on, Josh. This was the darling of the fantasy season. Everyone saw this guy blow up to end last year, or for the second half of last year, and he is disappointed so far this year. Of course, we're talking about higher round draft pick Justin Fields. We talked about him last week, I think, as well, but he had another performance that was eerily similar to the week before. Josh, are you buying or selling Justin Fields in fantasy, who was probably, you know, third to fourth to fifth round pick this year in most leagues?
So if you can get them for a cheap price, I'd buy them. But people are going to look at the draft capital and kind of leave it at that. So they're going to want, you know, if you took Devonta Smith in the third round and somebody took Justin Fields, they're going to want Devonta Smith off you for Justin Fields, which is just never going to happen. But if you're able to make a move and get Justin Fields, maybe give up a quarterback that you have, like a Russell Wilson or maybe Mac Jones even, along with another player that other team is lacking in. Because if they drafted Justin Fields, they're probably not going to have many other good players because they stink. So if you can get Justin Fields in a package deal, I wouldn't mind taking a flyer if you're okay with struggling a couple games throughout the season, and at least one more game when they play the Green Bay Packers again. But you don't draft Justin Fields because he's a dart thrower, a superstar quarterback. You draft Justin Fields because he's a running back acting as a quarterback. And so his running upside is where you draft him. They didn't call many running plays this season yet. You could watch the all 22s of the games, and he doesn't even see his receivers downfield. And so that's why he throws into coverage. They're just going to go ahead and say, you know what? We're going to be the Atlanta Falcons light. We're going to run the ball 75 times. We're going to throw 10. And so once they make that decision week 15, then that's when you're going to want to put them in your lineup.
All right. And then, so people should assume we're talking about just the season or talking about redraft, but does your answer change at all for Justin or for Dynasty? Do you think he'll be able to turn it around in more of a long-term aspect, or do you think he is who he is already?
I think he is who he is already. The thing is with like the running quarterbacks, I'm trying to think of someone that's like gone from one team where they build around him to another team. And so like, you know, you think of going back to like Cam Newton. He was Panthers strictly. If Justin Fields gets replaced in this offseason or the next offseason, he's going to have a very hard time going somewhere to finding a new home where they're willing to adjust that entire offense. He may become like the backup to Lamar or the backup to Trey Lance, wherever Trey Lance is backing someone up. And so if you didn't catch that, make him a third string quarterback or a fourth string, I guess. Because gotcha. Trey Lance's duty. But yeah, I don't know. He's just, he doesn't know how to throw the football. So I wouldn't go for him in a dynasty league unless somebody's literally just giving him away.
Okay. Appreciate your insight there. Moving on to running backs here. Josh, he has kind of taken the league by storm. And then apparently Cam Akers has the same issues he had last year. So, oh, by the way, Justin Fields was...
it's fried fat.
Mostly, unless you can buy him for rock bottom. Moving on to Kyren Williams here, Josh. He appears to be the runaway starter now in Los Angeles. Kyren Williams, you eating everything on him but the squeal, or is he fried fat? Should you be selling high if you can?
I don't know. I haven't really watched a whole lot. I know I had him on my roster last year at one point and went, ew, and dropped him. But that's when Cam Akers kind of stepped up. Bye, Micah. But yeah, he's definitely getting involved. Cam Akers definitely rear-ended Sean McVay's brand new hybrid. And so that's kind of why Cam Akers is in the doghouse. So, but yeah, he keeps getting the rock. His points are up there. I'd probably have to wait one more week at least to see if he can get that consistent without Cam Akers in there. Because if the other team is game planning for both of them, they may have some tendencies, or Kyren might have some tendencies that Cam doesn't, and then now that's more on tape. So I'd have to wait until like between week three and four to make my move on him. Granted, he's probably on everybody's roster already, and so that's kind of where I'm at with him.
Okay, so I guess right now, are you saying he's not worth the buy, or are you saying you would sell high, just to be clear?
I would sell high on him.
Okay, all right, there you go.
It's fried fat.
Moving on, Josh, Alexander Mattison, he wasn't super hyped this year, but he had the opportunity. He was the backup turned into the starter. He's been a mess so far. He had, 13, depending on your scoring, but he had 13.4 points in week one and then just 4.9 points last week. Of course, you're playing the Eagles. Eagles is a tougher team. I get it. And then, the Buccaneers, their run defense has nothing to sneeze at either. But he's a pretty meh running back from fantasy perspective, I'd say most people would say, so far this year. So are you buying or selling Alexander Mattison?
I'm gonna sell him. Anytime the fans turn on him as quickly as Minnesota fans have, sending death threats to him and his family just for fumbling the football in a game, it's not necessarily optimistic for him. He may have a good bounce back week, but I would treat that as fool's gold. I'm selling Alexander Mattison.
All right, Alexander Mattison,
it's fried fat.
Moving on, Josh, he was certainly your darling last year, and he has been, at least for me, I don't know if I don't run in the right circles, but he's been flying under the radar this year, and he was in the draft season as well. But Dameon Pierce, running back for the Houston Texans, he's had two bad weeks, I'd say, 6.7 and then 5.5. He's the starter in Houston. I mean, they brought in Devin Singletary, but I don't think anyone thought Devin Singletary would be a threat. Obviously, everyone knows the Texans are bad, but they were bad last year as well. Are you going to try and buy low on Dameon Pierce, or do you think his goose is cooked? Are you buying or selling Dameon Pierce?
So I do have a couple shares of Dameon Pierce, one in Dynasty and then one in a redraft. And I would say that he's definitely a hold buy if you can for soup dirt cheap. Because somebody posted on Reddit today as I was scrolling through that his like offensive line is decimated in front of him. So they're expecting that to change. There hasn't been a stable offensive line for these first 2 weeks. Plus with the rookie quarterback. And then, so they're expecting it to kind of stabilize. So he's going to get better looks. So I would buy him now if you could. And then, you know, he's not going to turn into CMC overnight, but buy him. And then week 5, 6, 7, if he's still putting up the clunkers, you know, hopefully he didn't pay too much, but I do think that he can turn it around.
All right. Dameon Pierce.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
Moving on to wide receivers, Josh, staying on the same team even. He's had two good weeks so far, one good week, one great week. We're talking about Nico Collins. He went 14 points and then 27.6. Again, depending on your scoring system, I believe this is all PPR. But Nico Collins, they traded away Brandon Cooks. And, they've got Tank Dell and a couple other pieces as well. But is Nico Collins the guy? Are you buying, Nico Collins? You think he's going to keep doing it? Are you selling high? How do you feel about Nico Collins?
Buy high. I'm pretty high on him. I think I saw somewhere he's like the second most targeted wide receiver right now. So he gets, he has the volume and his scores show it. That offense is, or that team's likely going to be playing from behind most of the year. And so they are going to have opportunity to throw the ball. He's shown that he can catch it. So I would say that his trend upwards is a good thing and that I'd buy him if I could.
All right.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
Moving on to Tyler Lockett. Josh, this is kind of his MO for a long time, but week one, he put up 3 points. Week two, 25.9. Would you buy or sell Tyler Lockett for the rest of the season?
You know, I would, for the rest of the season, I'd say he's worth a have. Geno loves him. Last year, I think he had his most touchdowns in his career for a season. This year, he started slow, but I think the entire Seahawks did 2 weeks ago or on week one. And so Tyler Lockett, I think, is going to be somebody that, a solid flex player. So buy him if you can, but don't overpay because of his big week this week. Just stick to his price range.
All right. What about, and I'm sorry, we're going over here. So if you want to speed this up, you can just yell at me. But I'm curious, does your answer change in Dynasty? Obviously, they drafted JSN. There's also question marks. How long is Geno Smith going to be there? But do you think, from a lower, longer-term perspective, would you still buy Tyler Lockett because you think he's a dog, or would you maybe sell Tyler Lockett? Do you think people who want to sell early versus sell late, do you think now's the time to sell Tyler Lockett, or does he still have some years in the tank?
Yeah, in a Dynasty, I mean, he probably does have, at least one or two good seasons left and then more of a, role player, but, cause he is 30. I'm trying to think of his injury history. I think he does have some injuries, but it's not like, drastic ones. And so I would say that sell him in Dynasty, if you're not a competitor, maybe try and get like a, second round draft pick if you can. Package him, maybe get a young player that's sitting on someone's taxi squad.
All right, appreciate that thought. And then Josh, final wide receiver here who has played down so far, we have Kadarius Toney. He got put up 1 point and then 8.8 points. Obviously, everyone saw him opening night of the NFL season. That was a bit embarrassing. He came back with, I think, 5 targets, but only 8 points in week two. Are you, and so obviously he's a down receiver, so no matter what you're buying or selling, it's low. Are you buying Toney low or are you selling Toney low just to cut the dead weight?
I would buy him low. Mahomes said he trusted him and he went back to him 5 targets. He didn't see the field very often. And I think that was more so, the game plan, Travis Kelce's first game back, Andy Reid saying, you know what, Tony, we don't need you to go out there and mess things up. So we're just going to kind of ease you, meant for your own mental safety. He did have a fumble which is kind of costly. But I would say if you can buy him low, you don't have to play him just because you're buying him. He's shown that, you know, or Mahomes has shown trust in him. So I would say, you know, see if he could string a few solid games together.
All right. Kadarius Toney.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
Josh, we're already about 5 minutes over. Do you want to just skip the tight ends, or you want to rapid fire through them, or do you just want to be done?
Rapid fire.
All right. Tight end good. Hunter Henry's put up 15 plus points both weeks so far. Are you buying or selling Hunter Henry?
I am buying.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
Darren Waller, week one, we saw how bad the Giants were. Week two, they turned it around with that great comeback. Darren Waller, are you buying or selling?
I am selling.
It's fried fat.
For the record, I would buy Darren Waller. Not that I chime in as often. But all right, Josh, another high tight end. He's down this year. George Kittle, he put up 4.9 and then 6.0. Certainly, you expect more out of probably the third or fourth tight end on the off the board in most leagues. Are you buying or selling low? Or are you buying low or selling low on George Kittle?
I'm selling. Sorry, Georgie.
It's fried fat.
All right, and that's all the time we have for it. Yep, there it is. That's the closing bell, Josh. We got it in just in the nick of time. We appreciate everyone so much for listening. Josh, the Thursday night game will happen before we play, and we'll get to see, I believe it's the Giants and the Niners. I believe that's the Thursday night game, so we'll get to see if our takes are correct for George Kittle and Darren Waller, perhaps, in just 2 days' time. Anything else you want to say to the folks before we podcast next, or do you just want to say go Packers and get the hell out of here?
Well, I just want to point out that I did say sell Darren Waller because he was my dud for the season. So
sure, just staying consistent.
I got to stick for my, I just got to stay consistent on that. I will say Jaden Reed is a buy for the Packers. He had a solid week this week. Luke Musgrave is a buy for the Packers. I think the Packers are going to go.
Dontrevion Wicks, dude?
Who? He's going to go six. The Packers are going to go 16-1 this year. They played blindfolded that fourth quarter. So,
all right. The buy and sell segment won't be so long next week. But I wanted to go through a good list of players at week two. I think it's an important time to be making these decisions if you can. But we appreciate everyone so much for listening. We'll be back Saturday morning around 8-ish a.m. We love you. We appreciate you. And we will see you then. Josh, thank you so much. Don't forget to say go Packers. Bye.
Go Packers. Boo Vikings.
Hey!
Go Packers.
Zest me. Just give me a little zest for the people.
Zesting for the people.